I'd like to direct your attention tonight to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where we read, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him," speaking of God. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." There is nothing more important or more needful than to come to God. Coming to God is voluntary. God doesn't force anyone to come to Him. And in that sense, coming to God is a matter of love. We love Him because He first loved us. We reciprocate, we return our love to Him by walking in faith, trusting Him, and obeying Him. He displayed His love ultimately to us in the sacrifice of His Son, paying the price of our sin in the death of Jesus. We are not forced to come to Him. However, coming to God is conditional. We must come on God's conditions, not our conditions. It's not a matter of I feel that I'm coming to God, as we talked about this morning, kind of continuing some of the thoughts that we had this morning and elaborating upon them. But as I talk to people, this seems to be the thing that I deal with most of the time, is how people feel about their relationship with God rather than knowing they're in a relationship with God as confirmed by His Word. So if I love God, I must keep His commandments, as Jesus said. I must know His commandments in order to keep them. And so these conditions must be met. He that comes to God must believe that He is. So if one is to come to God, he must come with a certain attitude and with certain things being met. He must come believing certain things. And we're not going to cover all of those things, but here's the primary things. He must believe that God is who He says He is, that He is the Creator of the world. I want you to consider with me Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2. Interesting verse. I don't know if you've spent a whole lot of time just looking at it. Sometimes I think we read over verses because we assume we know what they say. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, and actually verse 3 is the one I want you to take a look at. It says, "Through faith," now faith comes by hearing the Word of God, we understand that, "but through faith, by hearing God's Word, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but this blows the Big Bang Theory completely out of the water. Because the Big Bang Theory says there was something that blew up, and from that explosion of that matter, whatever it was, what we've got now appeared. Not according to the Word of God. The things that we see were made from things that you've never seen. What was that? God said. God didn't construct something. He didn't take material and make something out of it. God said, and there was. How do you do that? Well, you got to be God to know how to do that. We'll never be able to comprehend that. But if you're going to come to God, you must believe that He is who He says He is. And He has the power that He says that He has. And when you recognize that, then you've got the first element of your purpose fulfilled. revere God. Have a reverence for God. And then keep His commandments. We must believe that God is who He says He is. And we must believe that God's will must be done. And what I mean by that is that we must believe that we must not just know what God's will is, we must do God's will. Jesus summed up the Sermon on the Mount by saying, "He who does the will of my Father is he who will enter into heaven." Certainly, we must know His will in order to do His will, but we must do His will. So it's good that we come together on Sundays and Wednesdays or whenever we come together and study and know. It's good that we read. It's good that we study on it. It's good that we know the will of God, but we must realize that we must do God's will to go to heaven. 1 John 2 and verse 17 says it this way: "The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Not just he who knows the will of God, but he who does the will of God. We must come believing that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. It's not passively seeking God, it's diligently seeking God. And again, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus expressed this in Matthew 6 and verse 33. We must seek Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's will must be prioritized over our will. And when we prioritize doing things, we must prioritize His will first and foremost. We have a lot of priorities in life. And they're good priorities, but we must do His will first. And if He is our primary priority, then the other things that we have to do, we'll do them in agreement with the will of God. Those who, we must believe that He rewards those who are seeking Him according to His word. Very simply. His will must be known. His will must be done. One must come to God. He who comes to God, but we, if we're going to go to heaven, if we're going to please God, then we must come to Him. We must come to Him on His terms, as we said. But to come to Him means that we must come humbly. This requires an awareness of the greatness of God, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, and it also requires a knowledge of the inadequacy of ourselves. We know this morning in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, that the way of man is not in himself. I can't find my way to God through what I think or through what I feel or what a group of us agrees to do. We are totally dependent upon the counsel of God, the revelation of His Word. We must come humbly, and that requires an awareness of our need for help. As David recognized his need for the help of God, we must also. Psalm 51 and the first three verses, just one place where David expressed this. Where he said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." If you were to read this from the bottom up, these words would be just as meaningful. My sin is always before me. What can I do about it? I need to confess my sins before Him. I need to ask Him to cleanse me of my sin. I can't cleanse myself. I can acknowledge my sins, but I can't be forgiven of my sins until I acknowledge them and ask Him to thoroughly wash me of my iniquity, to blot out my transgressions according to the multitude of His tender mercies. Why would He do that? Just because He's a merciful God. He's a loving, kind God. He wants to forgive us. He wants to extend mercy to us. But we need to acknowledge our sin and our dependence on Him for the forgiveness of our sin. We are so thankful that He provides forgiveness through His Son and by the promises of God. We're so thankful for His Word that leads us out of a path of destruction into a path of righteousness and glory. But we should never think that because we have left the pathway of sin to walk in the pathway of righteousness, that that saves us. We will always be dependent upon the mercy of God as His Word reproves us and corrects us, convicts us. Walk humbly with God and realize that the help is there. We, like the prodigal in Luke chapter 15 and verses 17 through 19, need to come to ourselves and realize we're not as great as we think we are. We can't depend on our feelings. We can't depend upon what we think and how we feel about things. We depend upon His revelation and return to our Heavenly Father and acknowledge that we have sinned against heaven and against Him and ask to be a servant of our Heavenly Father. To come to God, one must come willingly. John 7 and verse 17, Jesus said, if anyone wants to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Do you want to do the will of God? Because if we don't want to do the will of God, we never will. And if we don't want to do the will of God, we will never please Him. No one can be driven to or from God. I was talking with someone about this in a situation once, and you know, here was a problem with somebody. A person had a problem, and he said, well, fix it. And I said, well, it's not that easy. It's not like doing a brake job on the car. You know, if brakes are bad on the car, well, you just fix them, replace them, fix them. Now, in this situation, you have to convince somebody to fix themselves. You have to convince the car to fix itself. You have to want to come to God, or you never will. If you don't want to come to God, no one's going to drive you to Him. No one's going to force you to walk in His way. God is love, and if you're going to be one with God, you're going to have to be love too. You're going to have to put God's will before your will, just like He put your need before His Son's life, out of His love. True faith is demonstrated in willing obedience, not forced obedience, not pressured obedience, but willing obedience. We are either drawn to God in righteousness, as John 6 and verses 44 and 45 says, no man comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and has learned from the Father comes to me. How does God draw us? We're exposed to His Word. And if we hear and learn, make application, humble ourselves before Him, realize our need of Him, and commit our ways to Him, we indeed come to Him. In James 4 and verse 8, it said this way, draw near to God by hearing and learning and doing God's will. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And as you read through the New Testament and the epistles, the letters that were written to the churches, you find that this was the problem that Christians had in the first century. And it's the problem Christians have in this century. We have a mind for God, toward God, but we also have a mind for ourselves and for our way. And we try to say, well, I'm 75% for God, 25% or whatever percentage. You might even get up to 90-10 or 95-5 or 98-2, but still that 2% is double-minded. The Bible tells us to follow Him with our whole heart. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? But it's a challenge that we can meet if we truly love Him and desire to draw near to Him and come to Him. So we are either drawn to God in righteousness or we are drawn to sin and death. In James 1 and verse 14, it says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust or his own desires and enticed. So are we drawn by the Word of God or are we drawn by our own desires? And that double-minded man is drawn away from the will of God to his own desires, enticed by them. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth death. Are we going to follow through with our desire, be drawn away by our desires, or are we going to be drawn to God by His Word? It's our choice. One must come to God. What was that? Yeah, that's right. One must come to God on God's terms. Romans 10, and the first three verses says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Did they feel like they were right with God? Did they feel like they were God's chosen people? Did they feel like they were the children of Israel, the children of God? Yep. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They had rejected the counsel of God in the gospel of Christ. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, the gospel is the revelation of God's righteousness, but they will not hear and learn and practice the righteousness of God, so they're ignorant of God's righteousness. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, well, this is how we feel we should serve God and be right before Him. They establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. The same thing happens today. When people reject the pattern of the church of the New Testament as to how to be added to the church, how to worship as the church, how to be organized as the church, how to do the work of the church as the New Testament specifies. When that's not what they feel they should do, and they feel they should do something else, they establish their own righteousness. Self-righteousness is what the Bible calls that, rather than God's righteousness. And when you seek to establish your own righteousness, you have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Not humble. Not humble. Not revering God. We must come realizing the gospel reveals God's only hope for forgiveness. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel. And the gospel alone. Don't be ashamed of it. Always learn and be practicing it and always sharing it with others and never apologize for it. James 1, verses 21 and 22 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And be doers of the word and not hearers only. Our faith must work to be faith. What's in our heart must be displayed in our life. We must come knowing that God will execute justice. Is everyone going to be saved? Would that be just? If the sinner and the righteous both enter into heaven, would that be just? If the one who does not revere God enters into heaven just like the one who does revere God enters into heaven, would that be just? No, that's not justice. The Bible over and over and over and over and over again is telling us we have a choice to make. And God expects us to make that choice, just as this passage is telling us. You're going to come to God. You must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What about the ones who don't seek Him at all? Are they going to be saved? No. James 4 and verse 12 says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. The lawgiver gave His law in order to save us. But if we disobey the law, we will be destroyed by the same lawgiver. Romans 11 and verse 22 says, consider the goodness and the severity of God. A lot of people want to talk about the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Yep. Consider that. Think about that. But also consider the severity of God. On those who fell, look at those examples of those who fell from the favor of God. His severity was displayed upon them. But toward you who are walking in righteousness, goodness, if you continue in goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So if we know his will, we need to be doing his will. If we know there's areas that we need to work on, we need to be working on them. If we know that we need to trim our lamps, then we need to be trimming them. If we know that there are some people that we are ashamed of Jesus when we're in their presence, then we need to pray to God and ask for courage and not be ashamed of Him. We need to always be doing His will. John 8 and verse 31 and 32, which we quote so often, "If you abide in My Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Know it, do it, and in so doing, you will be a true disciple by abiding in His Word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't alter it in any way. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without hearing His Word and doing His will as it's revealed in His Word, it is impossible to please Him. Well, this seems like a good work to me. Verify it from the Word of God. Can't verify it from the Word of God. Don't do it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's not about pleasing us. It's about pleasing Him. And if our desire is to please Him, we will know His Word and do His will. He who comes to God, do you want to come to God? Do you want to be one with God? Do you want to be in fellowship with God? Do you want to come out of darkness and walk in the light? He who comes to God must believe that He is. Do you believe that? Believe that He is the God that is revealed to us in the Word of God? Not some higher power, as you hear about today. Believe in whatever higher power you want to trust in. No, believe in the higher power that is revealed from His Word. You must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. To come to Him, you must seek Him diligently. And in so doing, we must humble ourselves before Him, revere Him, and constantly, as David was saying, "My sin is always before me." We must always acknowledge the places that we come up short of His will for us. Confess them. Turn from those shortcomings. And be determined to be stronger, to overcome those things, and to walk with Him to His praise and to His glory. If you desire to come to God, and you haven't obeyed the gospel, we'd encourage you to do so tonight. If you're here tonight as a child of God, out of favor with Him, and we can pray with you and for you as His Word teaches us to, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?